Greetings again in the name of Jesus, our risen Lord and Savior. Brother David, in his devotions this morning, opened in the same way I was going to open. There's something about springtime that makes you feel alive, doesn't it? Well, I'm not sure if that's exactly the way I was going to say it. There's something about springtime that makes you think of new life. Somehow it's all fitting that the resurrection happened in the springtime, I believe it was. It's fitting that we commemorate it in the springtime. Spring is the season of new life because it follows the season of death. We know what fall is, and we see the leaves going brown. We know what that means. Throughout our lives, we're accustomed to searching for signs of death or life. I don't know if you ever thought about that a lot, but I'm sure you did. We search for signs of life. We see a bird nest and it makes us think of new life. We see, in this time of the year, we see a lot of buds and blossoms, and we know, we take a look at a tree or a shrub and we know that there's life there because of what we see coming out. Trees and bushes and plants and grass becoming green, we see that. We know that there's life there. We get a birth announcement and we know that there's new life. And we could go on and on with that. There's also signs of death. The other day I was traveling and I saw up ahead some buzzards circling and I knew what that meant. That means there's something dead, something died. I already mentioned the colorful leaves in the fall. It's very beautiful, but it does mean, it means a couple of things. It means there's cold weather coming and it means that there's death, that those leaves are dead. Now the tree doesn't always die. The tree still has life in it, but those leaves are dead. They're gone. They will disappear. During the summer, sometimes we plant gardens or we plant fields, and we look in a field or we look in a garden and we see something that's mostly green, but we see some brown in it. Oh, maybe there's a little hole there, or maybe there's some insect or some disease or something that got. We see signs of death that are in the midst of the green. Reminds us of death. We see a grave or a gravestone and we think of death. Turn with me to Luke chapter 24. I'd like the title of the sermon this morning is Alive in Jesus Christ. Well, before we go to Luke 24, we do not have Good Friday services, and in a Good Friday service, if we did have one, it would be focused on the account of the crucifixion. And Brother Austin, I appreciated his thoughts on memorials. And I don't know if you had family devotions on Friday. Hopefully you did. But that is a very good time to read the crucifixion account with your family and discuss it. It's one of those ways of setting a memorial. And your children will remember that. But before we go into chapter 24, we know what Luke 24 is. You just take a glance at it and you know what we're going to talk about. But I'd like to go back. I'd like to read the last few verses of chapter 23 for the first point. verse 50, and behold, there was and we know what happened here. We know that Jesus died. It was about the sixth hour, verse 44, in darkness. And Jesus said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Verse 50, and behold, there was a man named Joseph, a counselor, and he was a good man and a just. The same had not consented to the counsel and deed of them. He was of Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who also himself waited for the kingdom of God. This man went unto Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. and took it down and wrapped it in linen and laid it in a sepulcher that was hewn in stone, wherein never man before was laid. And that day was a preparation, and the Sabbath drew on. And the women also which came with him from Galilee followed after and beheld the sepulcher and how his body was laid. And they returned and prepared spices and ointments and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment. You know, we talked about searching for signs of life or death. We talked about signs of death. When you read these verses, you have an air of the finality of death. The focus is on the women in verse 55. Let's look at them. They were present at the crucifixion. Mark 15, verse 40 says that they were looking on from afar off. They were Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of Jesus, of James, the less, and of Joseph and Salome. These were, and many other women which came up with him unto Jerusalem. They were present. They were watching this. It says they beheld the sepulcher. It looks like what happened here. They followed after these proceedings. They saw his body on the cross. And then they followed to the sepulcher. And it seems like they went in and saw him laying there. Catch that. And how his body was laid. It seems like there was a viewing here. And they had gone in. There was a finality of what had happened in their minds. But what were they thinking as they observed him? Did they remember the story of Lazarus where Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Jesus told them, I am the resurrection. Did they remember? Did they remember Jesus' own words? I think it's John 18. I have a reference here, but no book. I think it's John 18, 31 to 34. No, it's not. I'm not sure what that is. But the Jesus' own words, it might be in Luke. I think it's in Luke. Yes, it is. And he took them unto the 12, and then he took unto him the 12 and said unto them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles and be mocked and spitefully entreated and spitted on, and they shall scourge him and put him to death, and on the third day he shall rise again. And they understood none of these things, and this saying was hid from them, neither knew they the things which were spoken. I don't understand what all that means, what it means that it was hid from them. Were they not to understand this yet? It almost seems like they were not. But John 20, verse 9 says, For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. So this is something that they did not connect. They did not realize. So that apparently was not in their minds as they were standing in that sepulcher and looking at his body lying there. They also prepared the spices and ointments to anoint his body on Sunday. And this was done to control the smell. I'll just be blunt and honest. That's why it was done. They were not thinking of resurrection. They were grieving his loss, his death. And they were prepared these spices to bring along. According to John 19:39, it says 100 pounds, which according to one source translates into 75 pounds of what we would understand. 75 pounds it was brought along to wrap the body. Now the Jews did believe in a resurrection of the body. Job 19:26, Job says, And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. But they were thinking this was after. These women were not expecting a resurrection. This was a dark scene of death. Let's go to chapter 24, verse 1. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulcher. It's these women again, bringing the spices which they had prepared and certain others with them, and they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words and returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. This is a sudden realization of the resurrection of life. The first point was an error of the finality of death. Now we have a sudden realization of life. Note the aspects of life. We noted the aspects of death. Let's note some aspects of life. It was the first day of the week. It was a new beginning. How fitting is that? A first day of the week, a new beginning, new life. It was very early in the morning. Brother Austin again mentioned a sunrise service, but it's very early in the morning when the new day, when the light is coming up and a new day is dawning, light is breaking forth in the eastern sky. It's a picture of life. John 20 verse 1 says that these women were approaching while they started on their journey while it was yet dark. Matthew 28 1 says, as it began to dawn. I believe that is when that verse is talking about the resurrection itself, when that happened. Apparently it happened just as a light was breaking, that the angel came and rolled the stone away, and the soldiers fell as dead men, I believe it says. And I mentioned before, I believe it was springtime. Were the birds singing and the flowers blooming when this happened? Somehow I believe it was. It was a picture of life. Well, verse 2, they came on the scene here and they found the stone rolled away. The stone was rolled away. I believe to them it was a surprise and a relief. It was a surprise because Matthew 27, 65 and 66 says, Pilate said unto them, Ye have your watch, go your way, make it as sure as you can. So they went and made the sepulchre sure, sealing the stone. This stone was sealed by the authority of the government. And we understand that today when the authority of the government seals something, that's pretty secure. But it's not secure when it comes to God and his power and the resurrection power. That sealing did not matter at all. But it was a surprise to these women because they were wondering how to get in. But they did not have to worry about that. It was a surprise. It was also a relief because they did not need to remove it. But the tomb was open. The light was shining in. Verse 3, they went in and they found not the body, another indicator of life. There was no death here anymore. There was life. What a change. It's interesting looking at their attitudes and their emotions. Very interesting. They entered in. They looked and they saw no body. It says they were perplexed. You think that somehow, sometimes we think, or I would have thought, well, there was great joy and rejoicing. But it wasn't that way. They were perplexed. What was happening here? And suddenly there was two men standing there, and verse 5 says, they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth. And the angel said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? Why, they were actually seeking the dead among the dead. They went expecting to see
a dead body in a place where dead bodies are, but they should have been seeking the living. All the words that Jesus spoke about, I am the resurrection and the life, possibly they should have connected that, although we understood from what we read that this was kept from them. But if you're seeking the living, why are you in the place of the dead? It was like the angels were asking. Mark 16:8 says, and they went out quickly. This is more the response. Not sure if it mentions it here. It mentions Peter. It's interesting that Peter ran to the sepulcher and stooping down and looking in. It seemed like they were running back and forth when the realization was finally sinking in. They went out quickly, Mark 16:8, and fled from the sepulcher. So you have some running away and some running toward, for they were trembled and amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. Notice the emotions of running and trembling and amazement and fear. There was nothing neutral or casual or commonplace in all this. You have this transition from death into life, and it did not happen in a calm, neutral, casual way. Matthew 28:8 says, and they departed quickly from the sepulcher with fear and great joy and did run to bring his disciples word. Note the transition. I already started saying this point. Note the transition from death to life, from storm and clouds to sunshine, from winter to spring, from heaviness to lightness, from fear to joy, from hate to love, from sadness to happiness, from the curse to a blessing, from bondage to deliverance, from sin to salvation, from a hard heart to a soft heart. This is the resurrection, brothers and sisters, this morning. This is not just an event that happened 2,000 years ago. This is the resurrection that needs to be happening in my life right now. Is it happening in your life? Do you know what the resurrection is in your life? Well, what does the scripture say about being passed from death into life? Last evening was the youth sing, and we were there. It was a blessing to be there. See, how many youth were up there? I'm not sure. Was there a count? Yes. You two, okay, you're raising your hands. I thought you had an answer to how many were there. There was a few on this side that were there too. Maybe four of you, five, six. Appreciated that very much. It was inspiring. There might have been, this is just a guess, maybe 80 or so up there, maybe more. I don't know. It was inspiring to listen to the songs, and they were not all Easter songs. They were not all Good Friday songs, as we say. One of the songs that stuck out to me was Open the Wells of Grace and Salvation, and I wouldn't have considered that so much of an Easter song, but the second verse says, dead to the world would I be, O Father, dead unto sin, alive unto thee. Crucify all the earthly within me, emptied of sin and self may I be. It was also, Brother Nolan was leading the chorus, and he mentioned something about the fact of Jesus Christ is central to all of life. It's a central theme of life, of history, and the future. Everything wraps around Jesus Christ and his resurrection. But what do the scriptures say? I'd like to ask you to turn with me to some scripture verses, and we're just going to see. I'm not going to make a lot of comments on these verses. I want the scriptures to speak for themselves. You can turn to Philippians chapter 3. Let's not look at this, at Easter service, as this Easter account, as an event that happened in history. It did do that. Praise the Lord. But we'd like to realize this morning how it affects my life.
Verse 10, Philippians 3, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Paul was looking forward to attaining unto the resurrection of the dead. That means he was looking forward to the time when his body would be resurrected, literally. But he realized that first there needs to be, he needs to enter into the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And being made conformable unto his death, that death needs to happen in our experience before we can come to new life in Jesus Christ. We need to die to self. Romans 6. Tremendous verses here. This is the Sunday school lesson in a few weeks, Lord willing, but this fits so well with the subject of the resurrection this morning. Romans 6, verse 3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life. But before we can walk in newness of life, we need to be, verse 5, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, from henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. I have to keep reading at least the verses 11 and 12 yet. Likewise, reckon ye yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. All right, we'll cease reading there. I can't make it any clearer than what was just stated there. Turn a couple pages back to Romans 8, 17. It's breaking into a sentence. Verse 16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Brothers and sisters here at Kirkwood and friends and others that are here, we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. And we could continue reading there. This subject or the discussion continues. But if we're suffering here together, be assured that we will be glorified together in the resurrection. 2 Corinthians 4. Second Corinthians 4, verses 10 to 14, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. Two more I'll read. You don't need to turn to 2 Timothy 2:11 and 12. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. 1 Peter 4:12, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you, but rejoice,
inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy.
I started out the message with some thoughts about how we can go through life and we notice little signs of life and we notice little signs of death. I'd like to conclude the message by just simply asking, making some notes, or talking about some signs in our spiritual lives. If we can look for signs, we're very adept. Those of you who are farmers or have worked with growing things, you're very good at noticing when something's not quite right, whether it's a heifer or an animal or a puppy or a corn stalk. You're very good at picking out those characteristics of death. Those characteristics of something is suffering, something is dying. But what are some signs that I may be spiritually dying or dead? Number one, a waning of interest in Bible reading. What is the status of your Bible reading? Number two, a waning interest in spiritual things. Can you talk about spiritual things with your family? Can you talk about spiritual things in your conversations with one another? Number three, a lack of communication with God. Is it hard to talk with him? Does it seem like there's a distance? It's a sign of death. Number four, disobedience. Is your life characterized by a disregard for God's law, for the scriptures, and for what is expected of you as a New Testament believer? Is there disobedience? That is a sign of spiritual death. Number five, ill will toward others, malice, unforgiving spirit, disagreeableness, control, selfishness. Those are signs of spiritual death. Number six, no concern for the spiritual welfare of souls. Is that something you don't think about? It's not a concern about their welfare. It's not a concern about how they're doing, how they're making out. Are they rising above? Are they gaining victory? Are they slipping behind? You're all ambivalent about that. That's a sign of spiritual death that is happening. But what are some signs of life in Jesus Christ? And I just go through the list again. A sign of life in Jesus Christ is an interest in God's word. And you feel guilty if you don't spend some time in his word. You feel like there's something missing. That is a sign of life because it's a sign that there's nourishment coming. And it's a sign that it's just like our daily lives. If we get hunger, if we go hours and work a whole day without eating, there's a real consciousness of that because we feel it. We're getting weak and we sit down and we have a headache. And I don't know what symptoms you all have when that happens, but it varies some. Maybe some of you can go longer than that, but some of us could go a couple hours and we have to sit down or we got a headache or something. Is it that way in your spiritual life? And your spiritual life is daily, your devotional life is what I meant to say. When our devotional life is strong and we sense that we miss that nourishment as it's coming. Number two, we have an interest, a sign of life in Jesus Christ is an interest in meeting and discussing spiritual things with brothers and sisters and those you meet. And you have an interest in that, and it's encouraging, and it's upbuilding. Instead of a lack of communication with God, we have daily and hourly communication with God, and it's closely related to the devotional life. But the devotional life is something that
I think about is maybe happening once a day, maybe twice. But this communication with God, does your mind drift toward God as you're around your working? And it gives evidence of that link with God. A sign of life in Jesus Christ is being careful to be obedient in my life to the call of God, in submission to my brothers and to all authority. Carefulness to be obedient. A sign of life in Christ is also, number five, a life characterized by the fruit of the Spirit. Instead of ill will toward others and unforgiving spirits and friction and selfishness, it's a life characterized by the fruit of the Spirit. And we can go through and list all those, but I think you know what they are. Y'all know what they are. But a sign of life in Jesus Christ is when my life is characterized by fruit of the Spirit. And number six, a life of concern, a heart of concern for hurting souls. Instead of an apathy, a non-caring attitude towards spiritual welfare, we have a heart of concern. Our heart goes out in prayer. You remember to pray for someone. There's been some statuses. There's been some maybe emails and messages going around about those that have hospital experiences. And is that come into your mind and you pray a prayer for them? And not only for those that are hurting physically, but a prayer concern for those who are losing out spiritually. These are all indicators of life in Jesus Christ, and they indicate that you have experienced in your body the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. And also that you have experienced the power of his resurrection by pulling you out of that old man experience and giving you a new platform, a new lease on life, a new outlook on life, indicating that you have participated in Christ's resurrection. Well, we know there's a future for fulfillment to all this. You can turn, in closing, to Revelation chapter 20. Brother David also this morning ended in Revelation. I'd like to do the same. Revelation chapter 20. I don't think it's the same verses. No, it's not. Verse 6. I think he was in chapter 21. Chapter 20, verse 6. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. This is in the context of the millennial reign, but not only 1,000 years will reign with him for eternity, and whatever God has in store for his people, rest assured that if we suffer and die with him here, we will be raised spiritually as sons and daughters through salvation, through Jesus Christ, and through his plan of salvation. But we will also experience an eternal resurrection there with the presence, in the very presence of Jesus for eternity. Let's kneel for prayer.